Hi, my name is Umi, and today we're here with Gary from Berger Law, and he's going to tell us about how an injury claim works. So, Gary, if a person gets into an accident, whether it's at work, in a car, at the store, what happens next when they call you?
Well, when they call me, they've been injured, they've gotten medical care, and they have a reason to think that they have a claim against someone else to compensate them for their injuries. So they'll call me, and we'll take a lot of information. We'll get all the details, but what rules did the wrongdoer break? I mean, were they driving too fast, too close? Did they fail to yield the right of way? Was there a hole in the ground that no one told you about? Was there water on the floor? Was the product dangerous or defective? Or did the doctor look cut before they looked, or not conduct do a test they were supposed to? Or depends on that. Or were they injured on the job? So, if they were injured and suffered an injury, including wage loss and medical expenses, and it's someone else's fault, they call me, and then we take them through that information, and we get that information. And what they have there is a claim, which is different than a lawsuit, but at that point, they have a claim. So that's kind of how an injury claim starts.
So, what's the difference between a lawsuit and a claim?
A lawsuit is when you actually file a legal paper in court, a lawsuit against another person. It's also called a petition in Missouri, a complaint in Illinois, and in federal court. A claim is just a unrealized debt. If I hit you in my car, you have a claim against me, okay? Starting right then. How much is it worth? I don't know. You may not be worth much because you're not injured. But then again, you also could need surgery and could be worth a lot of money. So the amount of damages or the loss you've sustained informs us as to how much it's worth, but you have a claim right there. When someone's done something, when someone has needlessly injured someone and broken the rules in doing so, then you have a claim against them.
Okay. So how do you determine if someone has a legitimate claim?
Well, great question. I don't take illegitimate claims. So, but no, but that's a great. So, you look at things. You look at what their story is of how it happened. You talk to witnesses. You get a police report. You do your own investigation to make sure you can prove liability. You do medical research to make sure the doctor breached the standard of care. You look at the dangerous condition of the property to make sure it's really dangerous and that the landowner knew or could have known. It's real complex. It depends on the area of the law, what jurisdiction you're in, about whether or not you'll get liability. And then the other, the idea of legitimate or not, are they really injured? If someone's making something up or gilding the lily or faking it, they're going to get found out eventually. And I don't take those cases. And if I have a client who does that, if I ever find out, I terminate them. I won't represent them anymore because it's my reputation. It's not worth my time.
Right, your values.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to partake in that type of thing. And so if someone is not truly injured or do not truly have the damages that they claim, then that's not something I'm interested in helping with someone. Because, as your mom teaches, you're taught as a kid, you don't lie, you don't do that stuff, and you're going to be found out eventually. So a legitimate claim, again, means that someone was injured or sustained an injury that's both personal as well as wage loss, property damage, because of the wrongful or negligent conduct of another. Another way to say that is someone breaks the rules, someone broke the rules and injured you, then that you have a claim against them. And then the damages have to be legitimate and caused by the negligence of the defendant.
Okay. So let's say I was in an accident and I'm legitimate. And I have a claim. What then? What now?
Great question. Thank you, Umi. So what happens then is we sit there, we take your information, we investigate it, we ask you if you want to hire us, because it's a two-way street, and we tell you why we think you should.
Okay.
We can add value to your claim. We're really good at what we do. We're going to fight hard for you. We're going to make sure you get 100% recovery for your injuries. And then if you want to hire us, and we do things on a contingency fee basis, then we proceed with the claim. We let you continue to get your medical care. We collect evidence we need. It depends on the case. We'll interview witnesses. We'll get police reports. We'll take pictures. We'll do research we need. We'll get other medical articles or industry articles. We will put the defendant on notice. We'll send them a letter and their insurance company a letter saying we represent you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start, then they'll give you a claim number. We'll start talking to their insurance company. They'll ask us for information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll take statements of their people. We'll give them all that information. And I know this is a long answer, but at some point you're going to kind of be done with your medical care, right?
Right.
You don't want that to go on forever, mm-hmm. right? It's an idea of maximum medical improvement. Have you ever heard that term?
I haven't. Can you tell me more?
Well, yeah. So maximum medical improvement is when you've gotten as good as you're going to get.
Oh, okay.
Not complicated.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Right. So at some point, you're going to get as good as you're going to get. And you still could have residual pain or symptoms or problems. But whenever you're reaching that point where you're really not going to get any more medical care, you're kind of done. Mm-hmm. We get all your medical records and bills, and we send a letter to the other side, to the defendant or his insurance company, saying, pay us this amount of money. Mm-hmm. We figure out what your medical expenses are. Mm-hmm. We figure out what your wage loss, what other damages you have, and what your pain and suffering disability amount of. So we figure it out and we talk to you. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do juries give? What is a defendant likely to give? And we kind of figure out what it's worth, and we give the defendant an opportunity to resolve or settle the case. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people want to go to trial when they have a claim? Like nobody, right? So everybody wants to settle. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes that happens quicker. Sometimes it happens longer. It mm-hmm. depends on how much of a fight the defendant puts up.
Right.
So we would try, and that's still in the claim stage. So we try to settle it. Typically, we try to settle it with the defendant. There are times when we don't. Mm-hmm. So there are times when we know this defendant's never going to pay us, so we might as well file a lawsuit. So the claim, So the claim is basically in that stage before we file a lawsuit, but it can also be after, and that's what a claim is. You hold this legal claim. It's this intangible thing.
So what is the difference between a lawsuit and a claim?
Great question, Umi. So the lawsuit, so, and I think you alluded to that earlier too. So the claim is this process that I've described. The lawsuit is when you can't settle it or you decide that it's really not going to resolve short of litigation, mm-hmm. and you file a paper with the court that is a lawsuit, and then you're in litigation. Then the defendant and the insurance company that you were making the claim against mm-hmm. now is going to get a lawyer and is going to defend that. And there's a lot of lawyers. I fight lawyers every day. I was in depositions all morning. So we're in litigation and we're fighting in the courts, going towards a trial mm-hmm. where I'm going to persuade the jury and the other side of the wisdom of my position mm-hmm. in terms of your damages.
So how do you determine how much a claim is worth?
Another great question. So if you prove that the other side is liable to you, or if they broke the rules and injured you, your damages are a couple areas. One is you have your medical expenses. Two, you have your wage loss expenses. Mm-hmm. Three, you're going to have whatever other miscellaneous expenses. And then the next area is really more of the intangible damages like pain and suffering. Disability, disfigurement, do you have a scar? I talked to you a little bit about maximum medical improvement, but even when you're not getting medical care anymore, you still may have pain in your neck every day. You may have permanent arm numbness. You may have a facial scar in a dog bite case mm-hmm. or something like that. So it's those are the main elements of damages, mental anguish, pain and suffering, stress from that. I mean, I have people that are this far from dying in truck cases, and then how do you go drive again? Or kids in fear of dogs, or people reluctant to get medical care. So you have a lot of that stress that you carry with you.
It's trauma for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And it's well said, the trauma is future too. So and the damages is both past and future damages. Mm-hmm. So that one of the things that set us apart from other lawyers is how well we are able to show the jury the full picture of your damages. And we do that in trial at different ways. Mm-hmm. I would bring, if you were injured, I'd bring family members to sit. Because it's not just you saying it. You know, mm-hmm. if you're sitting in a jury, people are going to think, are you whining a little bit or not? Mm-hmm. But we want to show you're not. So we bring coworkers. We bring parents. We use medical records. We use tests. Mm-hmm. You know, you show a picture of the herniated disc in your neck or the mm-hmm. broken bone, or you show the EMG of the nerve loss that you have because a doctor severed your nerve. I can give you a million examples. So, because we've had a lot of cases over the years. So That is what your damages are. Now, and the, how much is it worth? Well, what's a jury going to give you? I try a lot of cases, so we have experience in that. We research it, we know, and it's a little bit intangible. Mm-hmm. And I talk to juries about that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been on jury duty?
No, I haven't.
So when we pick juries in these cases, they always say, how do I figure out these pain and suffering, these damages? And mm-hmm. we talk to them about that. Mm-hmm. We say the law provides you guidance, the judge is going to provide you instructions, mm-hmm. and then I try to show them what it is, really, without exaggerating. This is really what's it like for Umi in this example, or for whenever my clients, and try to give them a bellwether of what it is. Because do you know how many times the person has to collect or recover in this crash or whatever the situation is?
I don't, but also, what's a recovery?
Thank you. Great question. Recovery is the same. It's like if you settle the case, you're recovering. So the recovery is what you're recovering your damages. You're getting back what you have lost. So okay. You can call it a recovery. You can call it a settlement. You can call it a claim. You can call it's basically because we can't go back in time and make it not happen. All we can do and all our civil justice system does, which goes back to the Constitution in 1789, is give you money to make up for that, mm-hmm. where it can be made up. Some things can't be, but a lot of this can. So that's what a recovery is. Mm-hmm. And the law affords and provides guidance to juries and to us as to what that is. So when you're deciding the amount of and as you can see by the long answer I'm giving, there's a lot that goes into figuring out how much a case is worth.
Right.
That's why you have lawyers like me who know what they're doing and work hard at our craft to make sure that we're able to accurately tell that to all of our clients.
Yes, very good.